I don't want to spend a bunch of time there, so I'm not going to read the entire chapter. But if you would, if you're a note-taking people, just pull up 1 Corinthians 12. You don't have to leave it up there for a minute. But we can't, I can't move along in what I want to preach on today, what God has given me to be his voice about, unless you understand my foundation at which I am coming from. That is always a good sign. And never in my life will I be able to not have a squirrel moment when Chris Auber walks by the back door with paper towels in his left hand and a plunger in his right. And I apologize as long as the day may be, but I cannot not stop and try to get back on track after seeing that. So I am thankful. Listen, ministry's dirty. Why are you running? Huh? Wow. Okay, ministry is dirty. Thankfully, that's him. That's deacon responsibility right there. All right, so you have got to read 1 Corinthians 12 to understand the foundation that I am going to catapult off this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about your spiritual gift to start with, and then it goes into one body, many members. Thankfully, I love to dabble in places that you guys have been hearing for a long time. Does that make sense? You can take it down. That way we don't get confused. You guys, for a long time, I'm not the first one to talk about spiritual gifts, correct? Oh, stand by. Hang on. I've had two cups of coffee, and it is not good for y'all or me, so I apologize in advance. It's not the first time you've heard of spiritual gifts, correct? Thanks. This was for this side. It wasn't for you guys. But we have to understand that we go from spiritual gifts are a known understanding that if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, how he manifests that in you is a spiritual gift. I might not have the same spiritual gifts you have. You may have more than one, correct? But our spiritual gifts are how we live combined as one body. So the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 goes on to talk about we are one body with many members. I was going to read the whole entire thing, but I want to try to get to the meat, and I want to get out of here at a decent time because I already know that the Lord showed up before I did this morning, and he is impressing upon your hearts because you can hear it spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke, but I have to reiterate my due diligence that he would like me to have. But I have to understand that I can't be all of the body. Make sense? And it's not super easy for me because I like to be in control. Y'all probably aren't the same way as I am, but I always like to be in control. Christopher, thank you for your service, sir. It's your duty. I can't. I apologize for the live stream. We're off to a not rough start. I like to be in control, so I don't always love that I don't get to be all parts of the body. I have to just do my part and do my part well. You have to just do your part and do your part well. But that's the foundation this morning in 1 Corinthians 12 is your spiritual gift is your service back to your body. And right now, let's just stay inside of these four walls, Heritage Baptist Church. Your spiritual gift is what God gives you to do, and that is your service back. If you haven't identified your spiritual gift, you need to work on that. Because if you have, hang on, let's not be offensive here. But let's be offensive here. If you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if you are a blood-bought, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given a spiritual gift. Amen? That is your service back to this church. Whatever it may be, it's yours, it's not mine. There are roughly 18, 19 top-line categories on studying in that. It falls in there somewhere. You might dabble in two or three of them. You might just be really good at one of them, and that's fine. But let's go with the foundation this morning. It's mandatory to use that in service of the body, correct? I didn't make that up. That's the Word of God, right? I just want to make sure this is not in the Gospel of Justin. This is in, right? We good? So you got to use it. All right, let me see. If we all have spiritual giftings, how do we know the when and the how to use them? I had a big segue. Go ahead and pull up Galatians 5, please, sir. Look at that. We're already through one. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just kidding. Thank you. All right, Galatians 5, starting at 16 and 17, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Stop it right there. So I worked all week long on, Lord, how do we make sure that we not only know our spiritual gift, that we use our spiritual gift, and that we know it's what you want us to do. I still find it to be one of the things that we talk about all of the time is, Lord, am I in your will? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I there? Am I listening to you? And it's always the most troubling spot. But I wrote down, as I read Galatians 5, that we must be in lockstep with the Lord so that we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. We could go on and go through the desires of the flesh and then the fruits of the Spirit, but you guys have all heard it. You know where it's going. And I'm just going to stop here for a moment in understanding in Galatians 5 that I say we must be in lockstep with the Lord so that we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. But my next note, and I think this was at about 2 o'clock this morning, my next note said, I get it, but it says, but we grow weary and tired trying to live his plan versus our plan. Agree? So let's go for a moment into that spot because, Jessica, I'm kind of with you. It's the middle of December. I have a 19, a 13, and an 11, and I don't ever think that we could do enough. Well outside of the realm of what December really should mean. We're in the humdrum trying to figure out, did I buy enough? Are they going to be happy enough for the 7.5 minutes that they're going to unwrap things and then get a couple of gift cards and want to go buy for themselves? And all of the time, we are just off the picture of really what December is about, the community, the family, all of the things. But I get tired. I get tired and I get weary, but then I say, well, Lord, if you're going to have that in my notes, which I'm totally down with, because when he gives me things plain as day, I don't typically preach from notes and I don't love them, but sometimes when his words are good, I have to write them down. But I said, Lord, if we get tired, what does your word say about me getting weary? And really, let's focus on Isaiah this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at 28, says, have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Hear me now. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. What about y'all old men? No, y'all didn't read that there? I read it there. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 31 says, but they who wait on the Lord for the Lord shall renew their strength. In this life that we live, it says we should wait on the Lord. I agree. But then I got my feelings hurt because sometimes passages like this make me stop and go, I need to break down the entirety of what that means because there's one thing that I'm not great at, and that's waiting. There's one fruit of the Spirit that I am fervently loving to show better than I do, and that is patience. But when it says, if I wait on the Lord, he will renew my strength from growing weary of doing his work. Galatians talked about being in lockstep with the Lord. So I started, let's just go all the way down the line and start, well, Lord, what does that mean to wait on the Lord or to wait for the Lord? The problem is it, what do y'all think of when the term wait is used? Let's go with that. If somebody says you should wait, what's it mean? Patience. What? Hold still. Anybody else? Y'all be teaching school over here. There's a couple teachers. What does it mean to wait? I know it's pretty elementary. It's cool. We don't all have to speak at one time. We'll go back to this side. Stop, right? So when somebody says wait on the Lord, that's the first thing that you're thinking, correct? Wrong. That's what he said to me, because I'm reading and I'm like, Lord, what do you mean wait on the Lord? Like, I'm coming out of Galatians. I like Galatians. I like trying to figure out how to be in lockstep with you, Jesus. Like, but what do you mean now I have to wait on the Lord? If I'm in lockstep, how am I going to wait? The problem is it doesn't mean wait in this passage like we mean wait. There are 20 different words for weight that are translated to the word weight from the Hebrew language. This particular one is, any of y'all speak Hebrew? Okay, cool. Kava, Q-A-V-A-H. Here's the problem. That don't mean to stop. You don't have to look it up, but I promise I did all of my homework. That doesn't mean to stop and just wait for him to say something. Kava means to be intertwined with, binded together with. Anybody in here play with, I know Tim does, and you're standing, so I'm going to use you for a moment. Tell me about paracord, because I know you got to be some kind of prepper and you've got all that stuff. What is paracord? Perfect. There are multiple strands all intertwined together. So when you break down that Hebrew word for weight in this application on the Lord, it is kava, it is be binded to, intertwined with. And I was reading a lot of things, and it got me into like the Chinese finger thing, you know, and the harder you pull, the stronger it gets. Well, when you intertwine, and I ended up down a rabbit hole. That's why I went to bed and come over here early this morning. I ended up down a rabbit hole with intertwining and pulling, and I'm like, Lord, this is not helpful to what I need tomorrow morning, so I'm going to stop. But when you intertwine all of that cordage together, and somebody comes at it with a little, this is a cute little pocket knife, but somebody comes at it with a little pocket knife and starts poking around the edge of an intertwined piece of paracord, it might snap. The outside might snap. A little piece might go. But here is the joy. It doesn't need just that little piece because it's intertwined. Does everybody have a visual representation of an intertwined piece of cord? And as you pull on it, it's all together. It is binded together. It is there. And the outside may nick a little bit and start to fray, but it's still going to be as strong as ever. Well, that's the word for weight. Blew your mind, didn't I? Thank you. I'm going over here. I like this. I need this kind of amen corner. It blew my mind because wait on the Lord and he will renew your strength has always told me, shut your face, Justin. Wait on the Lord. Like that's what I always hear. Now it's not. It's bind yourself together with the Lord. I have notes. Ooh. All right. I'm going to speed ahead for a moment. Aaron Walker. You're always my favorite. In this instance, don't make it weird. Come up this way. Phil Schaefer, did you bring me some David Blaine style tools? Yeah. Again, don't make it weird. Come up here so they can see you. And you have your J's on. We will not crease them. It's raining. How do you wear J's? Do you have like a raincoat for them?
No, they're spraying.
They're spraying. Waterproof. Phil, I need you. All right. Let me go to this side. I like this side better. I will not step on your shoes, but all right. Yeah, we're doing this. It could get weird. Wait, we got to go down. I don't want to step off this thing with this big old dude. Here we go. I wanted him to see it, but I also don't want to fall on my face. Yeah, we're going to three-legged race, bro. But we're on the same team. We don't have very far to go. Like, it is a short runway.
With you?
Yes.
Can I have another person?
Well, it depends for a moment. You, hang on. Let's do this. Haley Walker, or Auburn, you. Yeah. I know, that's the greatest part. Here's what makes it not, I'll preach while y'all just try to figure this out. So all of my mind was blown when it says that I need to renew my strength, so I need to wait on the Lord, which all of my life has told me, you just shut your face and wait for him to tell you what to do, because that's what I always got. The problem is, in Isaiah, it talks about if you're going to wait on the Lord and bind yourself together with the Lord, Galatians says I need to be in lockstep with Jesus, right? Well, there's no other way to lockstep myself and get intertwined with than to be just absolutely connected. We've all done a three-legged race. This, you cannot pick her up. Watch this. This is not going to be good for Aaron Walker's machismo. They're in this sermon illustration, one is God and one is man. Guess who gets to be God this time? You get to be God. You can't pick her up and carry that way, because that is not how it works. But I need y'all to be in lockstep going that way. Oh, you're going to discuss with God how you're going to walk? Shoo-wee. That's not bad. Oh, you're mocking God. Not cool. All right, this is not a DUI investigation, but I need you to stop and do like a 7-point turn and turn around. It's a judgment-free zone. All right, so when a believer trusts, the CSB says trust, most everything else says wait, the Hebrew says get bound together. When you bind yourself to God, y'all start walking back this way. When he walks, you walk. When he moves, what happens? Say it again, Christopher. When God moves, you what? If I am bound together, when he walks, I walk. When he moves, I move. Go that way. Go that way. That way is fine. When he stops, I what?
Stop.
And here's my favorite part. Y'all can just show right there for a second. When he speaks, I what? Here you go. When he sits, we sits. I didn't know how this was going to go down. I just had a thought and I said, Lord, flesh it out for me because we've got things to do. But I was blown away when it doesn't mean shut your face, Justin, and wait for the Lord to tell you what to do. It says bind yourself to the Lord. I can only bind myself to the Lord if I'm reading his word day in and day out. Does that make sense? I can only bind myself to what he wants, and that indwelling of the Holy Spirit is if I'm reading his word, knowing that I'm doing what he says. I am walking when he is walking. When he stops, I stop. When he speaks, I'm listening. Here is the problem, and I'm trying to get ahead in my notes because it's perfectly fine, but here's my problem in life. Y'all come stand right here. I'm also going to bind myself to God, but not the way that y'all are. You're going to hold, okay, do not crease those J's. All right, stand right here, just for a moment. Here's my problem in life. I say out loud that I want to be bound to the Lord. The problem is I start bebopping in life, and I get out here, and I'm like, hang on a second. I'm doing it my way, not God's way, because God stopped. And I'm not bound to him. I didn't wait on him. The problem is a lot of times I get way out here. Hey, how you doing? Everybody home. The problem is I get down here, and now I'm almost out of sight, and I make a turn. And, oh, Lord, where am I at now? I done made a turn because I started living life without God. I started moving along in my way, not his way. I'm trying to figure out, why, Lord, am I weary? Why, Lord, am I restless? Why, Lord, can I not figure out why things are not happening like I want them to? But then I look down at my leg, and I find that I am not bound to the Lord. Now, the weird visual is that as being bound to the Lord, everywhere else you read, he says, follow me. So I believe that my bound is going to be like right behind him, because I'm like a sheep, pretty stupid. My head stays down most of the time as I go along. If the Lord stops, I stop. If he speeds up, I can see that he's speeding up. If he turns right, I'm there. But if I'm not bound, as Isaiah says, y'all can stop. You might need help. I don't know. Can't reach that far down. Thanks. Thank you. These are yours. I will not return them. They're right here. I'm terrible at doing the things that I'm supposed to do all the time. All right. So my note says, you continue to be an active participant in what God is doing. Let that one simmer for a moment. If I stay bound to the Lord tightly, when he walks, I walk. When he stops, I stop. When he speaks, I listen. When he turns, I turn. When he runs, I run with him. When he stops, takes a few steps backwards, I am with him. I am an active participant in what God is doing. Make sense? Not what Justin is doing. I love to be really good at what Justin is doing. It's not always what God is doing. Who keeps me actively connected with God's plan, purpose, and promise. The more we do this is how we grow to be stronger Christians. This is how we run and not grow weary. But let me pivot for a moment, because as I am eyeball deep in that going, Justin, are you walking in lockstep in this body of believers in here? We got a lot of good things going on. We have offshoots of HBC going out all kinds of ways, all kinds of ways. You're not beneficial to any of them if you're not in lockstep with Jesus. Because if I'm not in lockstep with Jesus, when something comes arise, I'm up here, he's back there, and I'm not listening. I'm not listening to the care and concern about what Jesus has to say and what his needs are, because I'm now not an active participant in what God's doing. I'm an active participant in what I'm doing. And the problem is if I'm an active participant in what I'm doing, I grow weary. So I pivoted for a moment, and he said, well, Jesus used the same concept when he told the disciples in the crowd how to combat weariness. Does anybody remember what he said to his disciples and those in the crowd to combat their weariness? Starts with, come to me. Somebody finish it. Say it again. Say it louder. Right. Keep on. Come on, somebody. What? Yeah, take my yoke upon you. What? My yoke is easy and my burden. Right. So let me let you visualize, since you brought it to cows, we can move it over to oxen for a moment. And I want you to just visualize what a yoke is, right? Does everybody visualize what a yoke is? I didn't ask you early enough, or I'd have had you throw it up there like one of them good TV preachers, but y'all know what a yoke is, right? It's something that two big ox put their heads through. Power of two is better than one. Well, imagine for a moment God's already in it, and he says, hey, all you who are weary and burdened, come to me. Why? Because you don't think a yoke is light. I think a yoke looks heavy. I don't want to be bound to anything. But the Lord says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, because my yoke is easy, and that burden is light. Well, if I am bound together with the Lord, if I'm bound together with the Lord, walking in lockstep, or I am in the yoke with the Lord, I don't get weary.
Don't separate.
Right, right. Locked up, snapped together, doing what he says I'm supposed to do, not doing it my own way, and I don't get weary, I don't grow tired. Why? Because he's doing all of the work. And he doesn't put up a sign that says, if you pull 20% power, you can get in the yoke with me. No, no. Jesus said, I died on the cross. I'll get in the yoke. You get in the yoke. And if you can't walk, no problem. I'll drag you like a child out of Kmart. We're going. You know, let me go back, because my fault. You continue to be an active participant in what God's doing. God's doing what God's going to do. Let me try to land a plane here in a minute. God's going to do what God's going to do. It's up to you whether you're going to get in and be a part of that plan. Wow. That wasn't written down, but I really kind of like it. The problem is I don't like to be bound to a lot of things. I oftentimes find myself doing it my way, but I find myself either way behind or way ahead and go, God, we should go this way. God will probably say, well, that's a decent way, but I'm going over here. And I fight it. So there's two types of people that I guess I'm preaching to this morning, and I didn't want to pivot to this one, but it became clearly evident this morning when you were talking about getting weary, and I said, well, Lord, I know your word that I've read a million times that says, come to me if you are weary. So let's say it's December, I can't see, it's December 15th. Whoa, we're halfway. No, we're not. It's more than halfway. Mathematics, I'm sorry. We are there, but there are people in this room that are weary, that are tired. It's that second cup of coffee. I apologize. I don't know if the heater's still on blast, but I feel like I need to run a lap. But the problem is there's two different types of people that could be in this room this morning. There are going to be people that are just doing okay. And it's the middle of December, and it's fine. And their use in the church is fine. And things are good. There's a need. They show up. And everything is just, it's okay. There's no lulls. Here's the problem. We've come to determine in all the years that we've been hanging out, is that all I've been preaching is 25 minutes? Nice. That was a squirrel moment. I'm going back this way. Sorry, y'all can't see it. It's up there. It says it's been recording for 20. I think I'm doing fine. But there are people that show up to church in the middle of December, and they are weary, and they are burdened, and they do their best not to talk about it or tell anybody else about it, because that's what we do at church. Now, you heard all of this testimony throughout. If we are deciding to be the piece of the body that we are supposed to be, that we were meant to be, and we operate, we are about the body's business. We are about the one common goal. Does that make sense? You got to tell somebody that you're burdened. You've got to tell somebody that you're wearing a yoke that God's not in, because you're burdened and you're weary and you're heavy, because that's what we exist for. We exist to come alongside. I was trying to get that coffee kicking when some of the testimonies were happening, but I heard the vast majority of them. There are things going on here that are good. If you are burdened and weary and missing out on those blessings, that's not a me problem. That's offensive. Sorry. I'm going to rephrase that, because that feels harsh. If you are burdened, heavy laden in this room, and God has given you enough of an out, and your church, Heritage Baptist Church, has testified to the goodness of his people in here, the work of God, and you are still not asking for help, you have to. I need you to look down to see if you are tethered well at your feet, or are you way over here behind where God's headed. And you're just like, man, I don't know why this is happening. Lord, where are you? I'm not the one saying out loud that you are away from God if you are in that position, because everybody gets in that position. But you have to understand that there is a way out. God's word is a way out. You've got to understand, sometimes you just got to reach down and grab your boots and just tie them up. And as Phil Schaefer said this morning in his little mini sermon, I'm going to do it anyway. Whoa. Was that half an amen? I'm going to go there. All right. I'm going to land the plane. Mason, I need your help. I don't know why I'm pulling this back. I actually don't need that room. I need to find out what you're qualified to do. What are you qualified to do? I don't know. What are you qualified to do?
For what?
Just in general. Just tell me something you're good at. He can't do soccer for me right here. Can you do 12 push-ups in a row? I promised Aaron Walker that I wouldn't make him do push-ups. Can you do 12 push-ups in a row?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Right now. The first time your dad ever came to this church, I made him wear a backpack full of like 80 pounds on his back and race this little lady around the place. Like, we are about object lessons. Wow. I am not qualified to do this. I don't have a need for this, but I have an illustration that I oh, stop right there. That was very nice. Tis the season. Some of y'all are like, I could do 12 push-ups for $100. Wait a minute. I didn't know the Lord works like that. Here, I ended up with this yesterday because Chase Bank and I, we don't see eye to eye. I needed to get into a basketball game, so I quickly needed some money. So I said, I have kids in sports, and for some reason I have to pay to get in all of these sports. So I said, I'm going to need $100 over the next week. So I said, I'll take $100, and they give me a $100 bill. Have you ever shown up to a school sporting event, and they're like, here, it's $6 here? No. Thankfully, the Lord said, you can give that away tomorrow. I said, Lord, but it's mine. I don't want to give that away tomorrow. And he's like, that's fine. You can either be bound to me or not. So because of your qualifications for a moment, but I have two needs in my life right now, and I'm calling on you to fix them. Okay? There you go. For your qualifications, you get paid. But my second need, Aaron Walker, will you come this way? Somebody gave me another one this morning, but you, no. So Mason, here's my second request. I know of a need at the Spartan House right now.
Something. Give me a dollar. Something. Make it worth my time. Oh yeah.
This is not how this was going down this morning, and that wasn't mine as of 15 minutes ago, and it was given to me. But I'll let you hold it for a minute. Here's my second need. There are two guys right now at the Spartan House that need some spiritual counseling and need some love. Are you qualified for that?
Yes.
No. That's not your spiritual gifting, right? So here's the next thing I need you to do. That money's really not yours. It wasn't yours 2 minutes ago, was it?
No.
It cost you a little bit,
but
I'd like you to give it to him. You got to give it away too. Thanks. Oh. Sit down. Give a hand clap for Mason. You got to stay. I was only intending to give away one of those to you this morning, but you can have them both. I like how the Lord works.
Are you arguing with the Lord?
I'm not arguing with the Lord. I just wasn't anticipating that second hundred to be given into my pocket this morning. Hold it for a second. All right, so here's where we are at this morning. I was a little bit guilty at you guys about the, and I'm hoping that we end up with more for the lady at the crossroads, but I am as deeply rooted and committed into this sort of stuff as it comes. Sometimes it may come across offensive, and I'm not putting up a big billboard and guilt tripping anybody. It's the 15th of December. I'm aware. But in lockstep with the Lord, Aaron reached out the other day, which he does not do. When it comes to Spartan House stuff, we have come alongside the Spartan House for years and been a blessing to them day in and day out. If there's a need, we're for it. You can come. I'm going to land it. If you're playing the guitar, I'll feel like I can land the runway faster. We've come alongside the Spartan House for years, and we have the things that we do. What we don't typically do is cash money for Aaron's people. It's not a normalcy. But he found himself in a position middle of December with a couple of guys in there. If you don't know what the Spartan House does, they take a bunch of addicted, recovering addicts, convicts, try to teach them the way of the Lord and teach them how to get back on their feet. I don't know how to do that. I don't get up on Tuesday morning ready to speak to a convict. I don't get up on Wednesday morning ready to talk about addiction recovery. I don't know how. I have established that I do have spiritual giftings, but they draw the line somewhere. I happen to be given a decent job at State Electric because I like to run my mouth for a living, so I get to get a paycheck on Fridays. And so sometimes, first and foremost, I have to go to the Lord as I am in lockstep with him and say, Lord, what are we doing today? Because it's your business. And there is plenty of time where he says, do this, do that, do this. So my first request for you as a church, because we are a giving church. We'll go over here in case there was an amen that needed to come out. We are a giving church.
Amen.
We are a loving church. We could be a broke church. It's December 15th. I am not looking anybody in the eye saying we're going to do pass a big, they're going to be at the back here in a minute. But here's the first thing that I need you to do. I need you to identify if you are in lockstep with the Lord, first off. Because if you are not bound to the Lord, whatever you do in regards to this is in your will, not his. Does that make sense? If you are broke as broke can be, can't get Christmas for your kids, the Lord's not telling you to give to anybody for anything. Does that make sense? He made the request, and I said, yeah, no problem. I know our church. I know God's people, whether it comes from in here or out there. I am not scared because he in humility came and said, there is a need, and I don't know how to fix it. Would the guys in the church be helpful to me in this moment? I don't know what else to do. He knows what to do. Come to the Lord's people, right? It's December 15th, fully acknowledge it. I am asking first and foremost for you to look down at your ankle and say, am I bound to the Lord? I had a note because I still really like it. I think I put it away. Am I an active participant in what God's doing, or am I not? Am I so far out ahead of what God's doing? We're going to have conversations about all the ministries that we participate in over the next handful of months. But I'm sure thankful that the Spartan House exists. I'm sure thankful that the Ray of Hope exists. I can't do an ultrasound at 12 weeks and show somebody their baby like my wife can. Can't do it. It's not in my cards. It's not in my spiritual gifting. It's not what God has had me do. Whether I give $5 or I just pray for the ministry, the first thing I want you to do for a moment is we're going to pray. There's a link. It's a QR code because it's 2024. We are getting a little bit ahead in life. We're pretty late to the party, but digitally, we're going to take it at the back. It doesn't matter what he needs. I know that you guys will exceed that. And I'm not saying it's going to be you individually or you individually. I'm not saying this is what we have to have. God's going to take care of the Spartan House. Amen? God's going to take care of Heritage Baptist Church. Amen? But if you don't know that there is a need on the table, you have no way to go, I know how I can be helpful. Right now, the immediate need is there are a couple of guys that cannot financially. He teaches them to be financially stable, get on their feet, and not be dependent on things, not be dependent on the world. Well, they happen to work some construction. There you go. The Lord doesn't have to tell you. Miss Betty told you. It's having a rough time. But when God shows up, he doesn't show up in a deficit, does he? Where does he show up? In abundance. He gives in abundance. And that might not just come from us. He may get all kinds of things next week. Who knows? But this morning, I want you to have an opportunity to know that this is a Heritage Baptist Church sanctioned ministry that we are a part of. I did my best to listen to the Lord to show me that am I walking in lockstep? Do I have spiritual gifts? And how do I progress forward in the Lord? And this just happened to be this morning that it was a need. There are a handful. When it's time to pray for Dixie, we show up. She didn't need it to be financially, but she needed our prayers, and we showed up. Phil told her this morning, he said, listen, I've never had cancer, and I don't really know what it's like, but not being able to eat sounds like the worst thing possible to me. So the victory alone, being able to eat lunch, that's God. There's Eddie. He can walk. He can talk. Not as far along as he'd like yet. That's God. We got plenty of stories, 100%. But there are a couple of guys at Spartan House right now. There's a mom and a baby at Crossroads right now that are going to see a blessing from Heritage Baptist Church and go, man, Jesus must be legit. I wasn't expecting that. And it ain't going to come just from you. You can just pray and say, I don't have the extra cash. Fine. God doesn't need your money. Does that make sense? I'm going to let that be offensive for a minute. God doesn't need your money to get to his plan. His plan will take care of these guys. You agree with that? Like, I don't want to belabor that point, but God doesn't have to have your $17.36. He's going to take care of it. But I'm saying that we are a giving enough church and your kids have enough right this moment that the cost of your Mexican this afternoon is not going to hurt anybody's feelings. But man, when you couple it all together with God's people, it is a breakthrough for somebody that doesn't know the Lord or is on the outside going, I don't get it. Does that make sense? He's going to sing an ending song. There will be a cash plate at the back if you want to give. There is a QR code there if you want to give. This is not me asking. This is me doing what the Lord has told me to do. And this is how we walk with the Lord. Does that make sense? All right, if y'all would stand.